Good morning, Cedar Creek. Here are your announcements. As you can imagine, most events going forward have been canceled or postponed. Adult Bible Study will meet online at 8:30 a.m. each Sunday. See church website for details. Obviously, we are not attending the Fusion Conference next weekend. Fusion is still meeting each Wednesday on Zoom. Join us at 6 to hang out. We get started at 6:30. All teens are invited to join us. The Cedar Creek website is being updated regularly. Take a peek there for links, instructions, events, and coming soon, archive services. CedarCreekChurch.org. General tips for conference calls. Keep your mic muted until you want to speak. Remember that if you are sharing your video, we can see everything on your webcam. You can find controls to mute your mic and share your webcam on the bottom left corner of the screen. Black and white or green is live. Red means you are not sharing. Submit a prayer request, email it to prayer@cedarcreekchurch.org, or type it into the chat window of Zoom during the service. This can be to everyone or just to the user Cedar Creek. Cedar Creek Church has had a subscription to Right Now Media for years. We have used it for Bible studies at church and at home and for children's entertainment. They have recently introduced a much simpler process for signing up. Just click on the link or text Right Now Cedar CC to 41411 to begin. For more information, see the church website. We have two current options for giving, mail in a check, or contact Jenny Scott for direct deposit information. Now, time for the children's sermon.
Have you guys ever heard of visual illusions? Now, visual illusions are something where our eyes see something, but it doesn't show us exactly the way that it really looks. It looks slightly different. So I'm going to share one with you guys here real quick. This one here. As you can see, there's two lines with arrows at each end. Now, if you look at those lines, is one of those lines longer than the other? Okay, some people will see one looks longer than the other. But if we add into that a couple of lines going up and down, you can see that those lines are actually the same length. Okay, so it looks differently than what we see it. Now here's another one on here I was going to show. Guys, this here, it's flat. It's on a flat computer screen. If you turn your phone or tablet or computer sideways, you'll see it's flat. But if you look at this, it kind of looks like you're looking at a volcano. You go up the side of it, it kind of looks like you're going uphill. Or on the inside of the cone, it looks like you're going down. But we know it's really flat. And we can even turn it on here. Let me click this button here. If you watch, you can actually see it rotate around. Even though it's moving, it still looks deeper than what it is. I have one other one I wanted to share with you guys today here too. This one's pretty cool. Bring it up here. And I'm going to zoom in just a little bit so you can see just that on there. But if you look at this, it'll probably look like it's moving, but it's not. But look, if you look at it, you can see the different, you can see the different things on there. It looks like it's moving because of the way our brain perceives it. Let's see here. I don't know if that's on. There we go. Got some stuff playing in the background there. But right now we're going through a time where things are different sometimes than they appear. We know we're off school. We know that sometimes we hear about people talking about being afraid and different things. And that's kind of like a visual illusion. It's real. There's things going on that are different in our world. That doesn't change that God loves us, that God's in control, and that there's nothing in this world that can separate us from God's love. So when you look around, it's easy to get focused on everything else going on, but not remember, hey, God loves us. So if we look at this here, this is a Bible verse from Romans. In Romans 8:39, it says, neither height nor depth nor anything else and all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So while we may get distracted by everything else going on and think God's not there, he really is. And he loves us just as much as he ever did. So that's what we want to remember today, guys, from our children's sermon, is that God's there and that he loves us. And even when things look differently, they're not. That's never going to change. So if you get a little bit afraid or something, that's okay. Just tell God, hey, I know you're still there and that you love me, and focus on that. And he's going to take care of the rest of it for us. All right, I'm going to turn it back over to John or to our singing.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Doug, for that children's sermon. And thanks to Ron and Kelly, or Ron and Gene, I'm sorry, for worship music. Good job there. And thanks to John, as always, John Rasmussen, for his technical know-how to set this all up. I think we can be thankful just, you know, for our people who take the lead here, but we can be thankful for the technology that enables us, you know, to gather together as best we can. You know, one of these things I'm here in the auditorium with John and Ron and Raheem here. I can appreciate, you know, when you see scenes of a TV director, a sporting event director, or, you know, the newsroom, and there's guys in there with headphones, and there's like, you know, 20 monitors, and they're switching back and forth, and they're muting this, and they're turning this on. You can appreciate how fast that moves, and you can, you know, this is a smaller scale of that. So, like, John, if you ever probably, you know, if you never need a job, you could probably do that. You could probably work for TV station, so ABC. Anyway, week two of Church Online, things going good. We had 35, I think, at one point this morning, devices tuned in. That's probably about at least 70 of you out there. So good morning. Hope everything's going okay for you. Last week, we said that God does some of his best work in dark or uncertain times, because God can get our undivided attention when things get difficult. And part of that is that times of uncertainty and emergency and stress exposes some things that we can kind of lose perspective on. And number one of those things is our sense of control. And something like the pandemic exposes the idea and the fact that we're not near as in control of our world as we'd like to think. And so I think for some of us, maybe a lot of us, the idea of not being in control begins to generate some fear. You know, the COVID-19 pandemic is described as unprecedented, which can generate some fear of the unknown in people. I've heard restaurant owners in Rochester say, we're not going to recover from being closed. And, you know, in Rochester, sometimes restaurants are paying top dollar with regard to leasing properties. That's a pretty hefty monthly lease payment. And, you know, it's hard to recover from that. So I think some business owners are thinking, now what? We're not going to be able to recover from this. Last Sunday, I mentioned that a week ago Friday, I was in Farm and Fleet in Rochester, and I noticed that they were almost completely sold out of ammunition. Take a look at this headline from the Washington Post. The headline says, gun and ammunition sales rise amid pandemic fears. And here's the subtitle. Many gun buyers seem worried. There is a quote from the article. Many gun buyers seem worried that the exponential spread of COVID-19 will lead to a season of hard-to-find essentials, of illness-related disruptions in the grocery supply chain, with angry have-nots ready to steal from the haves. Now, I'm not sure how realistic that is. I'm not sure how widespread or severe that is, but it illustrates something almost all of us can identify with to agree, and that's this fear. Here's a few more headlines. This one from the Washington, from the Guardian, just a few days ago. Existential crisis, airline workers fear layoffs amid coronavirus pandemic. And then from Yahoo, the first coronavirus case in Zimbabwe fuels Africa pandemic fears. All of a sudden, people in Africa are getting wind of this now. It's coming our way. And then from Washington Post again, Dad, are you okay? doctors and nurses fighting fear of infecting their families. Now, I think that despite that, I think we all want to say, well, I'm not afraid. And I want to have good reasons for saying so. And we do. And I don't think I'm speaking to everybody here today. I mean, some of you, I think, are calm and at peace in the middle of this national emergency. And yet at the same time, if we're honest, the fear of the unknown can kind of close in on us if we're not careful and kind of nip at our soul. And it's, by the way, it's just not a pandemic that generates fear. From time to time, we all deal with other fears, like fear of rejection and fear of failure and fear of poverty, just to name a couple. Now, what's interesting when we talk about fear, Scripture teaches us to fight fear with fear. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple of verses and a story in the New Testament there. While you're turning there, let me share with you another couple verses and a thought. This is Psalm 111, verse 10. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Now, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, I think that for some, the thought of being afraid of God would be a strange thought. And I think that for many of us, we think of the fear of God as respect for God, which is appropriate, and that's part of the picture. One of the definitions we could say of the fear of God would be to fear what would happen if we disregard God more than what will happen if we submit to God. Another definition of the fear of God might be saying yes to God because he's God, simply because he's God. Or we could say the fear of God is writing a blank check to God because he's God. Saying, God, I trust you with everything. I am and have and hope to have and hope to be. And then that's the last verse of Psalm 111. Psalm 112 continues the theme of the person who fears God and the benefits of that. Here's Psalm 112, verse 7. It says, the one who fears the Lord, will have no fear, no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. So no fear of bad news, really? I mean, I think that's a state that we'd all like to be in, regardless if it's the pandemic or our health or our family, what's going on in our family. We all want to not be able to shake when bad news comes. And then in the New Testament, Jesus once told his followers, he said, do not fear what can only destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in Hades or the grave. In other words, Jesus was saying, folks, you need to keep things in perspective. Your respect for God and your regard for God needs to be bigger than any of those other fears. And in the same conversation where he said that, Jesus said, fearful and stressful things will happen to you. You're not going to be spared in these things, but fear not. You are very valuable to God. And he literally said, he talked about sparrows, and sparrows, you know, that's part of God's creation. God's, even sparrows are valuable to God. But he says, fear not, you are worth more than many sparrows. And this was something Jesus never promised his followers would be free of trouble, but he did promise to be with them through the trouble. And this was something that the followers of Jesus did not understand. They didn't get this until the very end of the story. That in following him, there is an attainable state of no fear. That locked in relationship with the Son of God, there is a capacity to be in very difficult, very stressful situations and not be afraid. So the message is not don't be afraid because God won't let things bad things happen to you. The message is don't be afraid because God is for you and with you when bad things happen. In other words, one of the things God wants to do in us during a national emergency like the pandemic, what God wants to do make us into is a person who lives absolutely confident that God loves him or her, is with him or her, and values him or her, despite what's happening. Now, all that to say this. In Mark chapter 4, there's a story of Jesus and his friends. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and it said a furious squall came up. And in that part of the world, in that part of the Holy Land, severe storms can come out of the mountains pretty suddenly. And this is one of those storms. And, you know, the Sea of Galilee is a pretty big lake. So the waves can get pretty big out there. And it says that the waves were starting to break over the boat. Now, I've been a fisherman for a long time. I've been out on lakes like Winnebagoche up in northern Minnesota. And, you know, I've been out in a 16-foot boat in 4-foot waves. And it's not bad. It's a little dicey. You get wet. And you're going through these waves, and the bow will smash into a new wave, and then the water sprays out to one side. It comes right up to the prow of the boat, right up to the point of the bow, and, you know, then spreads out. Now, but if those waves get to be 6 feet or 7 feet, then the waves start coming over the bow, and then you're in trouble. And that's where these guys were. And so they're panicking. And Jesus, oddly enough, he's taking a nap in the back of the boat. And so they go back and shake him. Rabbi, wake up. We're going down. We're in trouble. Don't you care if we drown? And Jesus stood up and he said, shh, hush. Be still. Look at verse 40. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? So get the picture here. His disciples are going, Jesus, the boat is filling up with water. We're in trouble. I know. I know, Jesus would say. God would say, don't be afraid. Or maybe we would say, Jesus, my business is going under. The bills are piling up. I know. You don't have to be afraid. Or even unrelated to a pandemic. My daughter is destroying her life, Jesus. I know. You don't have to be afraid. God, the clinic called, told me I have cancer. I know. Doesn't surprise me. You don't have to be afraid. But God, my wife just left me. I know. I know. Don't be afraid. Do you still not believe that God values you? See, one of our fears, among other things, is that we're not worth anything. And God in this story is calling out to us and saying, oh, yes, you are. And that's where Jesus took his disciples over and over and over. He knew that
he knew what they would eventually face, and he wanted them to be absolutely fearless of what might happen and wanted them to be confident, absolutely confident that God were with them. Now, look at verse 41. Says they were, look at that word, they were terrified. That's a different word than the other word for fear here. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. The word terrified there is a different word than Jesus used. Why are you so afraid? Get the picture. These guys were afraid. They feared they feared the storm, but then Jesus stood up and calmed the storm down. And it literally says they feared a great fear. See, they were afraid of the storm, as you and I would be too. But then they saw one who controlled the storm, and they were terrified. They got a glimpse of what Jesus meant when he said, do not fear what can destroy only the body. And now they were in the presence of one who controlled what they feared. And he's saying, do you still have no faith? And their response is terror. Who is this guy? What manner of man is this? You know, I think they got the point. that they could be in a terrifying circumstance and could be fearless, they could be courageous, because the one who had control over all of that valued them over any other part of creation and was with them. And so to fear him and to submit to him would be to leave the fear of those other things behind. Now, I think for some of us, or maybe for many of us, that's what God is trying to do in our hearts in this national emergency, to realize and embrace that the one who is bigger than the pandemic is on your side. The one who is bigger than the worst news you can ever get values you. The one whose name is recognized by violent weather, cancer, and aggressive viruses is for you. And you read the Gospels, you find Jesus doing this with people over and over and over. And the question we might ask is, well, why that? Why would Jesus want to dispel fear? Why no fear? Why not just protect the believers from bad stuff, right? I mean, what if you became a Christian, you're instantly healed, and nothing ever bad ever happened to you? Wouldn't that attract more people, right? I mean, it makes sense on a certain level. But let me give you three possible reasons quickly why this is what God wants to do in us. Number one, fear is the biggest obstacle to spiritual health that we face. Fear is the biggest obstacle to spiritual health that we face. See, I think some of us fear poverty, right? Some of us fear poverty, so we work and we work and we work. We fear sometimes falling behind, and so we get insanely busy. Some of us fear silence, and so we've got noise going all the time, whether it's, you know, music or the TV. Many or most of us, maybe all of us, fear rejection. And so we obsess with our image and our appearance and the way we sound, or we withdraw from people just out of fear. And our fears might not be in the center of our thinking. They're often in the background, which is why you find this in the Bible over and over and over, from Jesus, from angels, from all different places. Do not fear. Fear not. Because the things we fear are all around us every day. And that's why someone who's fearless stands out from the crowd. See, that's what God is after in us. Here's the second reason. Faith over fear honors God. Faith over fear honors God. Believing what God says over what man says, believing what God says over the world says, or what even my own emotions say, is an act of supreme faith. It's an act of worship. It's an act of the fear of God. And I talk to so many people who've been wounded, who's scarred because of their past, and they say, I've never felt loved. I have never felt loved. And see, for those people, for all of us, but especially for somebody like that, to choose what the Bible says, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, to choose that over what I feel is what it is to live in faith, is what it is to fear God. You know, if I heard one of my kids say, well, you said my dad says this, but I trust my dad. I think he meant that. I think he meant something else. That would be a high honor for me. And us stepping forward into believing God is for us and with us, no matter what the circumstances are. It activates fear of God into faith in God. Okay, here's the third reason. Faith over fear frees us to love others. Faith over fear frees us to love others. One of the biggest reasons we hesitate to show unconditional love to others is that it's risky. It's risky. We might get hurt. We fear getting hurt. And the capacity and freedom to love difficult people or angry people or wounded people or sick people is a result of faith in a never-ending love toward us. And people can be fickle. They can. You know this. People can be evil. People can be selfish. But God never is. You know, and I think that sometimes we think God is like people. We project the faults of people onto God, and we say things like, you know, the Old Testament God was a neurotic, you know, deity who lost his temper at people. It's like, no, that's a projection. That's a projection. God is never fickle or angry or selfish. And see, once the love of God goes from theory to my heart, once the love of God goes from a text in a book to my soul, once the love of God goes from a belief into my head, belief in my head, to a foundation of action in my heart, to the reality that we live in, we are empowered to love other people. And regardless of how they treat you, doesn't mean you have to trust them all the time. Doesn't mean you have to hug them. Doesn't mean you have to even like them. But you can treat them with kindness and respect and in their acting in their best interest. Now, years after this story of the Sea of Galilee in Mark 4, the disciple John, who was in the boat at that time, he said this, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Your translation might say something different. There is no fear in love. In other words, love and fear are incompatible. They're like oil and water. They do not mix. And this, in this verse, God is saying, look, I've come out of love for the whole world. And as my followers, I want you folks to love people in your world and in your circle. And the only way to do that is to lose the fear of them. So come closer. Come closer. Follow me. Because I'm going to make you into someone who loves perfectly because they fear not. And then later, the Apostle Paul, who understood this as well as anyone, said there is a faith in God that overwhelms all fear. And that's where Christ wants to take us. Here, look at this verse in Romans chapter 8. Doug quoted this, I think, just a few minutes ago with the children's sermon. I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, such as joblessness, financial stress, financial debt, prodigal children, unfaithful spouses, nasty neighbors, Republicans, Democrats, even war, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, you know what? You know what the good news is? The guys that spent time directly with Jesus, that traveled with him, ate with him, camped with him, they didn't get this until the end. But when that, what we just saw right there, when that gets from the page or the screen to here, we become what God is making us to be. Whether it's everyday fears or whether it's this national emergency fear. And I think we might say, well, you know what, Don, I think I'd like to believe there's a faith that strong, but I'm not there yet. And you know what? Honestly, I'm not either. I mean, but the men who spent time in person with Jesus struggled as we struggle today. But Jesus would say, why do you have such small faith? Do you still have such small faith? And we would say, well, we're trying, right? We're trying hard, but it's hard. It's hard to be in a sinking boat and fear not, right? It's hard to live on planet Earth stricken with a pandemic and fear not. It's hard to take our confidence from the control of the here and now and things that can hurt us in this life and transfer totally to the one that we know controls the destiny of our soul and holds our forever in his hands. And you know, one more thing and we'll close. I think that totally fearing God and trusting in God doesn't mean we never feel fear. I think for a lot of us, it'll mean that trusting in the love of God, trusting in the faithfulness of God, fearing God will give us courage enough to act in the face of fear rather than be controlled by it. But in following Jesus as Christians, that's where he wants to take us. That's what he wants to make us into. And the application is simple. You know, what are you willing to allow the reality of God in your life, in your heart, take the place of whatever your fear is? You know, question, what's come to mind the last 25 minutes or so? What's rattling your cage in this life? Is it the pandemic or is it something else? Or is it, you know, things added up? Can you see, can you accept that the one who is much bigger and stronger and in command of that thing or those things is for you and values you and loves you tremendously beyond what you can even imagine. And he's more interested in making you into someone who's free of fear than free of trouble. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to lead out in prayer here for a minute. And as we did last week, I'm going to start and just offer some thoughts in prayer here. And then we'll open it up for just a few minutes for you to unmute your mic button and contribute a prayer if you feel led to do that. And we don't have to go on for a long, long time. We'll give it a few minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up, okay? Let's pray together. You know, God, there's a lot of things in this world that kind of shake us up. And there's things in this world that are frightening. There's things that are awesome that we can see that will never affect our lives, but other things do. And sometimes we feel this thing of fear. And we cry out to you like the disciples cried out in the boat. We were, you know, trying to wake you up with our prayers. I'm like, God, aren't you watching? We're in trouble here. Don't you see? Help our hearts to hear the response today. Why are you so afraid? Why is your faith so small? And God, would you use this little piece of a story here to expand our hearts' trust in you? Help us to see you as way far, much more bigger than any pandemic or anything else that threatens our lives. Those things, like the song says, those things know your name and they submit to your wishes and to your words, to what you say. And you may choose not to remove them, but that doesn't mean you don't love us. And so with that, would you, Holy Spirit, would you enable that truth, that magnificent truth, to sink into the hearts of all of us here this morning? That we might fear you and love you and trust you and follow you when we're afraid of everything else that's pressing in around us. So God, I pray for the one this morning that's fearful. And I ask that the fear of you and the respect for you and the connection with you and the word of you will loom much larger than whatever they're fearing right now. And may there a peace come that wells up in their spirit that gives them the courage to not just go on, but to actually live fearlessly. Okay, at this point, I'm going to invite people to come, just anyone to come in and contribute a prayer if you like, if you feel so led.
My praise for who you are, and I pray for all of us that we are able to behold who you are and that we can look for your wonder in our world. And stay focused on what is good and what is right and what is true.
Lord God, Father, I thank you so much that the light of your truth, the promises of your word, can never be overcome by darkness. I'm thankful, Father, that the light of your truth penetrates darkness, that darkness cannot hold it back. And Father, we're so thankful for the truth that you've given us in your word, your promises, and that we can truly trust everything that you say because you love us. And so, Lord, along with the message today, I just pray, God, that you'll help us to go through this week in the calm assurance that you're with us, and that we do not need to be afraid of whatever rises up to try to stand against us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us that light of truth and for living in it, for giving us that light within our lives when we make you Savior of our lives, when we make you Lord. And so, Lord, just help us to trust in you and never let the darkness overcome the light that you've given us.
I feel led to say the Lord's Prayer. Say it with me if you want. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for equipping us with these wonderful words and message this morning to take away fear. And now we want to follow you by working for your kingdom to increase. You've told us, even in your last message to us, to go out from our comfort zones and to all the world and proclaim the good news. And Lord, let us not just hunker in our homes, but let us reach out, whether it's on a phone or however you lead us, to spread the love of Jesus, to even helping those in need that are less fortunate, but to spread the gospel in whatever way you can use us. And Lord, we don't want to keep this great pearl in a box in our home, but we want to spread it to the whole world. So equip us and send us out with this great news in Jesus' name.
Lord God, we've been so grateful for all that you've done. Thank you for being with us and loving us. And thank you for being an unchanging God. Lord, we know that you care so much for us, and that you're always there with us. Father, we just pray that you'll help us to be the light in this world and help us to bring you honor and glory with all that we do. Thank you so much for being our King. And may we go forth with your grace and truth in our hearts. Thank you so much. We love you. Amen.